Welcome to the DPCNP. I'm your host, Amanda Price, family nurse practitioner with 2 decades of experience, including 16 years as a business owner. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the DPCNP. Today, we're talking to Jody Siegel. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So tell me, where is your clinic and what's it called?
So my clinic is called Southern Direct Primary Care, and it's located in Smithville, Texas, which is about an hour or so right outside of Austin.
I saw on your website that you have been a nurse practitioner for 17 years. So take us through that whole history of you being a nurse practitioner. What all have you been doing?
Sure. My history, I've been a nurse practitioner for 17 years, but it was not a very exciting history. I kind of stuck with the same thing for a long time. I was a labor and delivery nurse for 9.5 years and went back to school to be an NP and really kind of stretched the limits of my capacity to expand a family. And I live in a rural town. I started working at a hospital-based family practice that originally was owned by a doctor I had worked with that used to deliver babies as a family practice doctor. And I'd known him for a number of years. And the hospital was taking over his private practice. I worked for him or for that practice. And then that practice eventually became a part of a larger hospital organization. And then it kind of changed it again, but I never really left that practice. We moved locations, but I stayed on board with that same practice until I left in November 2021 to open this practice. So it was a lot of years of just kind of doing the same thing at the same place. The practice just continued to grow and get busier and busier, and that was about it.
And that was a family practice?
It was. It was just a very traditional family practice. Saw a little bit of everything. I always had a passion for women's health because of the labor and delivery. And so I did a lot of that, but it was still family practice.
So in 2021, you decided to venture out and open your own business, and it was a DPC clinic. So how did that come about?
It was interesting. You know, a lot of things were going on in 2021 in the midst of COVID. It's a bit of a story, but I very much felt like God closing very firmly the door where I was at and opening this one. I felt very much impressed that I needed to go ahead and open my own clinic, which was completely the opposite of basically anything I'd ever thought that I would do in my life. I had patients ask me through the years if I would, you know, consider opening my own practice. And I would say, oh, no. I would never do that. That is really difficult. It's so complicated because all I really knew was the insurance world. And I looked around at, you know, this huge practice with all this staff and all these people handling insurance claims and all the calls coming in and the chaos. And I said, there's no way I could do that. I don't even want to do that. I could not wrap my mind around it. So when this idea started to take place, I sat down and kind of started doing some reading and research. And I didn't know anything about direct primary care until I started doing that reading. And I came across this concept and the light bulb just went on. And I said, oh, that's how you do it. You just don't take insurance. And when you get rid of insurance, then it becomes much, much simpler. And so in November 2021, I resigned and I was unemployed from November until, well, I got a little part-time job just to kind of tide me over. But I opened the doors of this practice February 1st of 2022. That included finding a space. It included all of the groundwork to start a practice and a build out of a retail space in the midst of COVID when supplies were really, you know, in a shortage, which I thought was nothing short of a miracle that it all happened and took place. And so, yeah, February 1st of 22 was my first day of work here.
And yeah. I saw in your biography that you are certified in functional and integrative medicine. Is that right?
I'm not certified. I have an interest in it. And I've, since I have been here and in this space, I've had the time to really dive deep and to do a lot of reading, a lot of research. and do a lot of independent learning in a lot of different spaces. I haven't gone and formally been certified. So I'm kind of dabbling in it, but that's definitely my interest and the focus of my practice, which I love.
Me too. That is really awesome because I think the fact that you can help patients on the traditional side, the way you learned in school, and then you have this alternative way, this functional medicine side to help people get to the root cause of problems. So it's the whole package that everybody truly is looking for in family medicine, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yes. 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 I mean, I'm still open to the idea and I have to feel out the patient, you know, if they feel like they really just kind of want to stick with kind of a traditional path and that's really what they're interested in, and they don't want to, you know, do what it takes to kind of really do the research to get to root cause. Okay, fine. I can do that. I know how to do that all day long, but I would say the vast majority of patients, that's, they're looking for something more. And they're really tired of the way things have been. And so I have had most of my patients have sought me out specifically because they want that help. And it's the word has gotten out basically that at the very least, I have the time to sit and listen. And as I was taught in school, you know, if you sit and listen to a patient long enough, you're probably going to figure out, you know, there's a good chance you're going to figure out what's wrong with them just because you've listened to them and heard them out. And so I think that's the biggest part of functional medicine is really just getting all the information.
Absolutely. And you're also doing women's health as well. Are you doing hormone replacement therapy and stuff like that?
I am. I
good.
Am. I've done a few different things. I've done hormone replacement therapy and I do some low dose naltrexone that kind of goes along with some of the functional medicine, you know, something I learned about that I didn't know anything about either and got super excited and have seen some patients do quite well. So that's kind of another little side thing that's available. So yeah.
You sound so much like me because I got certified in functional medicine last January. So I've had the certification a year, but I got it through the Elite Nurse Practitioner. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yes, so I did several programs through him already.
It's okay. Really, yeah. They have an excellent functional medicine course. And at the end of it, you get a certification. Now, it's not the kind of certification that you would get from the National Institute of Functional Medicine or whatever, but it is enough information that it opens your eyes to other things that you haven't learned before, and you can apply it to your patients. And then also, I've kind of gotten on a Barbara O'Neill fix. Have you? Okay.
We've all gotten on a Barbara O'Neill fix.
I've become obsessed with that lady. And now I find myself telling every patient to use castor oil, every patient to take cayenne pepper, you know?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Yes. I already had my mini trampoline. I dusted that thing
Me
off
too.
Fast. I said, I knew there was a reason why I should be doing this. I'd already read the benefits and she just confirmed it. So I said, getting back on it. Isn't that
awesome though? How God does put in our path, like when we start to use these things for other people, he will put in your path the tools that you need to now help others. And I can truly see that. So I'm sitting here smiling and nodding my head at you because everything that you say that you're doing in your clinic is exactly what I'm doing as well. And all the way down to the low dose naltrexone. And I love having the independence to be able to do that without the jurisdiction of insurance companies telling me, no, we're not doing that. Right. And all the bureaucracy there. So how is your patient dynamic going? And what kinds of things did you do to market yourself to get your patients?
So patient dynamics, as far as age groups, I have a pretty good variety. I have a lot of women that are seeing me, of course, because of, you know, some of the services that I offer. And also because I think women seek out healthcare first, but a lot of those women have drug their husbands along. So I've ended up with entire families because, you know, maybe the women came in first and then they said, we're signing everybody up, or I gradually, you know, got everybody else to come along. A lot of referrals have come about that way. In fact, most of my at least successful marketing has been word of mouth. Of course, I live in a rural area. I know we're outside of Austin, but it's still a small town. But we've lived here since 2001. And my husband was a teacher and a coach here in town. My kids all graduated from here. And so, yeah, I know a lot of people, but you know, so the word of mouth has been very useful. But a lot of those people that have come to see me didn't know me as well. And it's just, you know, it goes back to really trying to just provide good care, and people know it and they appreciate it. And, you know, then they tell others, especially when they're not getting good care anywhere else, or they're waiting for, you know, 3 or 4 months to get into to see somebody if they're a new patient. It's really frustrating. So when they realize there's a better way and it's right here in town, it's really kind of taken off. And I've spent some money to try to market in a few other ways. You know, I've got some Chamber of Commerce memberships here locally, two that I've kept. I had three total, one that I dropped because they literally never did a thing for me, but and did a couple of other advertisements on like a local map and some things like that. I haven't advertised, spent any money on, you know, like Facebook ads and things like that. I'd thought about it, but really I just continue to just get calls at the pace that really I needed them to come in. So in a way that I could handle it. And that's been effective. So if I had gotten all, you know, a couple hundred patients calling in the first few months, I would have been overwhelmed.
So how many total patients do you have right now?
I'm up to somewhere between about 310, 315. I'm thinking at this point, the way it is, it's feeling is that I'm maxing out at 350. That feels about right to me for what I can manage. You know, we offer to get patients in the same or the next business day if they're not feeling well. And so if I'm going to try to really honor my commitments, it feels like that 350 is going to be about right.
Yeah. And that's a good number. Do you have any staff in your office?
I do not. And that's another reason why 350 right now is
I cannot imagine.
I think I can do much more. I'm actually in the process. I'm going to be interviewing later this week. I finally decided to bite the bullet. I said, I cannot do all the things by myself anymore. It is getting to the point where it's getting really difficult. And I'm working, you know, 10, 12 hour days just because of all of the little tedious things that have to get done. So I'm at that point, but it's just one medical administrative assistant. And I think that will really do it for me. That's going to be enough. So we'll see how it goes. If I have that person, life will get a lot better for me.
Yes. So will you give the responsibility to that person to do like lab draws and all the nursing duties as well as some administrative things?
Right now, I think that I'm really just looking for somebody to really just do the administrative part of it. I mean, anything that they do that would assist me would be fairly minimal. I don't do any lab draws in office. I do send them out. I mean, I give patients my provider rate with the local lab to get the discounted labs, but I don't draw them in house. I thought about it and I made a space in my office when we were building it out in case I decided to go that route. But as busy as I am, I said, there's no way we can do this. I mean, and that might be something maybe someday I decide to do that, but it's working out. Patients seem to be fine with going to the lab. I haven't really had any pushback. So really just having that person do a lot of just admin stuff. My phone rings, you know, off the hook all day long. So just answering the phones would be huge at this point.
Yeah. So what kind of program do you use to manage your memberships and stuff like that?
Well, my EMR, I use Charm Health, and I like that pretty well. Of course, this was, you know, I had made the decision when I started. I said, am I going to try to use something I'm familiar with, or am I going to try to learn yet another EMR? Oh, something you hate.
Yes.
But I wanted to use something that I could really understand. And, you know, as far as from the, like the back office perspective and billing and all of that, not having ever done that before and having to manage every aspect of it, I needed something that was going to be pretty basic and easy to understand. Where I'd worked before, we used Athena, and I looked at that, and from the back office perspective, it was just and plus it was really expensive. So I looked around and I decided to go with this one, and it's worked out great. It does exactly what I need it to, and it's not more complicated or fussy than it needs to be, and it works great. All the features are perfect for me. And then I use Spruce Health for my communications and, you know, with texting calls and video chats and all that with my patients. And I just kind of fairly recently switched to Spruce. I had been with another company that was not really healthcare oriented, and it was not so great. And then I made the switch, and I'm really glad I did. That works perfectly for me. Bruce Health is great.
Yes. In fact, all three of my interviews so far all use Spruce. So clearly how I'm doing it is completely wrong. I just bought a whole nother cell phone, and I'm like, okay, everybody, when you join my DPC, here's the phone number.
Uh-huh. Girl, I can barely keep one phone charged. If I had to keep up with two phones, I don't think I could do it. So everything goes to one phone.
It is a nightmare because I have to make sure I have both of my phones everywhere I go all the time mm-hmm. because, you know, I advertise that you have unlimited access to me.
That's right.
Even if they text me at 7 o'clock at night, I'm like, where's my DPC phone? But I'm thinking I need to look into Spruce because everybody so far that I've talked to is using that.
It's fabulous. Yep.
Okay. So you're using Charm and you're using Spruce. What about managing the monthly membership fees and stuff? How do you do that?
So through Charm, when I sign a patient up, they have a feature where you can set a recurring charge. So I just program that in and you can choose a particular day of the month. You can also split it up if they want to do like half on the first, half on the 15th or the 5th and the 20th. And you just set that and then it just keeps running recurrently until you tell it to stop. So it's easy. So it's all works in the back end for me. And I get a report every day for the charges that have gone through and the ones that have failed, you know, if somebody's card number had changed or they didn't have enough money in their account and I need to get a hold of them and say, what happened here? Your charge declined. You know, we've got to fix that. So
you have to call those patients when mm-hmm. Is that yep. awkward?
I'll usually shoot them a text first. And, you know, I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I said, hey there, you know, your charge declined. Can you check into it? Just get back to me. And the vast majority of the time, it's usually something like, you know, somebody had fraudulent charges and they got a new card and they forgot because there's always a gajillion people that, you know, we've got, you know, we use our card for. And I was just one of those people. They forgot to, you know, make the change. Sometimes they don't have enough money in their account and they'll say, hang on, let me transfer some money. Sometimes they truly don't have enough and they'll say, look, I just don't have the money. Could you run it on Friday or something, you know? And I'll do that. I mean, I have the ability to be flexible, especially if it's something that's not happening recurrently. And I know, you know, I know my patients and I know if they're in a hard spot, I can be gracious. And, you know, there's also a way in Charm that you can set tasks and reminders. So I'll just make a quick note and it'll come up on that day, like, hey, remember to charge this patient on this date. This is, you know, whatever it is. I'll just make a little note to myself and that works out fine. So it is a little bit of work. And yes, I'm doing all that. So it adds to the never-ending list of things that needs to be done that maybe somebody else can help me out with. But yes.
Yes. Well, and I can relate to you being a solo practice and having to do a lot of the things myself. When you go on vacation, mm-hmm. how do you step away from your liabilities with work?
I don't do it very well, to be honest. As long as I'm in a place where I'm accessible, I generally still answer my own phone calls and I still take care of most things. I'll try to send out a message that I'm going to be on vacation so my patients know. And then if there is a, you know, something that comes up that's pretty serious, especially if they do need to just be seen in person, then I actually have an agreement with the doctor that's my collaborating physician, and he has a concierge practice. And so we're very much the same mindset. I've known him for a long time and we cover for each other in that way. In fact, next week I'm covering for him when he's out in case something big comes up and for the same reason, somebody needs to be seen. But we both kind of take our own calls unless I'm just going to be completely out of pocket, in which case I'll let him know that.
Like if you go on a cruise or something and you mm-hmm. just, your phone right. won't answer.
Right. No Wi-Fi or, you know, out of the country or something like that. You know, I'll let them know. But most of the time we're relatively close. I've taken patient calls on the beach and,
me you know, too. In various
places, camping. I've had to go drive down to a certain place in a campgrounds where I had Wi-Fi so that I could go through all my patient charts and answer, you know, whatever was going on. I'll just tell patients like, look, I may only check in once a day, but I'll go through everything and answer any questions and take care of things and, you know, call about labs, and then I'll be gone again until the next day. And everybody seems to be fine with that.
Sure. Because everybody understands that you need a break. You need to get away mm-hmm. a little bit. How do yeah. you send a text message to all your patients letting them know?
That was one of the main reasons why I changed to Spruce from the previous company that I was using, because Spruce allows for bulk messaging. So it's real easy. And I never could figure out a good way to make that happen with my previous company that I was using, nor could I find a way to make it work well with Charm. And maybe other Charm users have figured this out. I just never did. but spruce makes it really easy to do that.
That's good to know, because you cannot do that carrying around an iPhone.
No.
And I've needed to send out messages to everybody for different reasons. Like, for instance, next week it might be snowing and I need to let my patients know if the office is not going to be open.
Exactly.
And so, but I can't, because you can only send, I think, 9 people a text message at a time. Mm-hmm. And I've got 540 patients, so I'm not about to try to figure out all that. Okay. How long did it take you to get to an income that you were satisfied with, or is that still a work in progress?
It's kind of still a work in progress. I am not paying myself in my salary what I need to be paying myself. And that is going to change in the near future. I've been like slow to give myself raises. And it's also, this is part of just kind of learning how the business side works. I've got a CPA and she does an okay job, but I wish she was a little bit more proactive. I've told her, I said, look, I'm a nurse. I'm not a business owner first, in terms of what my experience is. I didn't know the first thing about, you know, owning my own business of any sort before. And so setting some of these things up, you know, with your PLLC and, you know, what the rules are with that was very foreign to me. I had a huge learning curve. And so I have been very conservative, also just because in the beginning there was no money. You know, I didn't get paid for a while. And there's, you know, this rule about what percentage you can, you know, do in salaries versus like distributions. And so that I'm paranoid about breaking a rule somewhere. So I'm at a point right now and I'm doing well enough now that I can and need to go ahead and give myself a raise, but, you know, kind of feeling out how that works with doing a distribution that's not going to be taxed versus my salary that is definitely going to be taxed, and then keeping enough in my bank account to make sure that, you know, I've covered not only just for my expenses, but just for anything that's unforeseen, and having a little bit of padding and now to be able to pay an employee. So, but I'm getting there most definitely. I have a few little side, kind of not side gigs, but some services that I'm adding, doing some things in progress that will allow me to be able to increase my income as just kind of like the gravy, you know, that I have my set income with my memberships that is very dependable, that I can know exactly how much I'm making, which is great, but we'll be able to have something that's kind of a little bit extra as kind of a bonus to me also. So if I've got holes in my schedule, I can offer some additional wellness type services.
And what are those things?
Right now, what I already have established is I've got a red light therapy. I've got a panel that I'd ordered. So using that for in a variety of different ways. Sometimes I just use it for free because I just do stuff like that. I had a patient with a neck spasm today. And while she was sitting there, I said, why don't we just throw this sucker on your neck? And then by the time she left, she was feeling better. I wasn't going to charge her for the one time. It was, I consider that a treatment. But, you know, I have it set up to be able to be used, whether it be for aesthetics and fine lines and wrinkles, or, you know, even for non-members that want to come in and use it because they've got musculoskeletal pain, or if I had a teenager that had acne or something along those lines, I have a Saluma panel that I use. So that, I have a presotherapy machine as well. So lymphatic drainage, and using that in a couple of different ways. I've got a few patients that use it for general wellness. You know, if I've got patients that are dealing with swelling, lymphedema, various different conditions, that comes into play. So those are just a few things. And then there's something else that's coming up that I haven't quite launched yet. So I won't bring that up just yet, but
okay.
It's kind of it's the most fun thing that I've done yet that really has nothing to do with being a nurse practitioner, but it'll all kind of pull it all together. So yeah.
That's good. I call those my side hustles.
Yes. That this most definitely, the new one will be the side hustle. So we'll see where it fits in, but I'm not ready to completely launch that until I have that employee. So.
Okay. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
How much do you charge for your memberships, and how did you come to that number?
So my memberships, my pediatric patients 0 to 17 are $35 a month, 18 to 49, $65 a month, and 50 and over is $80 a month. I also do family discounts. So if I get an entire family membership discount, I'll work out a price. Like a family of 4, 2 adults, 2 children would be $180. I do have a health optimization membership that I created for for some of my women, if they're wanting to do one of those deep dive functional medicine, integrative medicine type of workups, they're really complicated. They've got a lot of issues going on, and we're doing some kind of unconventional testing that's taking a lot more of my time. And for those, we'll do $150 a month, but with the understanding it's probably not going to be forever. It's just going to be while we're working through some of these things. And then once we kind of get to a point where we figured it out, we're more stable, then we can drop down to just a normal monthly membership. And in terms of, you know, coming up with a price, there's not a lot of DPC memberships in my area at all. There's a few in the Austin area, a few in Houston. You know, there's not a lot, especially in rural areas. And I knew that, you know, I couldn't base my price, you know, and have it be the same price as, you know, maybe an affluent part of Austin. You know, that's not my clientele. So I really needed to kind of be mindful of who the people were that I was seeing and come up with a price that was fair to them as well as to me to compensate, you know, me for what I'm doing. So kind of really just looked nationwide and in Texas and kind of looked to see what the consensus was and basically just kind of came up with an average there. I know that there's, you know, a formula you can use to calculate that based on your expenses. In all honesty, I didn't really do that. But what I've, you know, what I've charged, I think is fair for where I'm at. I mean, there's some things that I don't offer. Like I don't stitch. I don't put casts on. I don't have doing labor and delivery and then family practice. I never really did a whole ton of, you know, like urgent care or emergency medicine type of, you know, type of skills were not developed as much as, you know, maybe another person's. And so, you know, in a lot of DPC clinics, they offer that. And so I thought, well, I can't charge the price that they're asking because there's some services I just don't provide. And my patients are going to have to go to the ER for those things. And that's just kind of how it is. Will I someday maybe learn those things? I might. For the time being, that's not in my skill set. So, you know, I try to price accordingly.
What do you see as your future at your clinic? Like what long-term goals do you have?
As long as, you know, once I get to my max capacity at 350, what I kind of have in my mind now is I really want to start dialing down and looking at each of my patients and trying to get them to an optimal state of health and being very specific with them. Not that I haven't been doing that already, but to just be very intentional with maybe certain, call it a campaign, you know, of things that I'm looking at. Like, let's say, for instance, you know, I really want to make sure that all my patients are sleeping really well. How can I really work on that? You know, it's a big priority in our health, something along those lines. And just to start giving that full personalized treatment for each patient. Because I feel like the last 2 years, as I've been building my practice, especially with a lot of patients that I never knew from my previous practice, was just about new patient visits. It's just been like just barely getting to know patients. I've done some follow-ups, it just depends. Some people I've only seen them once, you know, and they keep paying their fee, but they're really pretty healthy and I don't need to see them all that often. So it'll be just really doing a great job with the patients that I have. And 350, you know, in one sense, it sounds like it's a lot, but pretty much any patient, when their name comes up, I know who they are. You know, mm-hmm. I can think of what they look like. I have some understanding of personal details and who their family is. And so I can really give that special personalized care. And so that's what I really want to focus on. Yes, I'm doing some of those fun side activities. And I look forward to that as really just kind of an outlet from using my brain to figure things out all day long, you know, doing some fun services. But I look forward to being able to just really enhance what I'm already doing and just to continue to learn, especially some of the integrative and, you know, functional medicine sort of concepts, just to get better and better at those.
Well, that sounds great. Well, finish me up with a positive story or some experience that has happened to you since you opened your clinic you would be willing to share that just solidifies that you made the right decision on DPC.
Sure. I think from a couple of different perspectives, I think like kind of in the big scheme of things, as far as a real positive is that I know I've been able to really provide quality care for a lot of people in this community that otherwise would not have been able to. You know, they just could not afford any sort of traditional insurance plan and they really needed it. They really needed care. And there's been several patients that had a lot of concerning health issues that even when they had been to other healthcare providers, those providers were not able to take the time to really ever get them better. They were kind of on that autopilot mode. They were doing the same thing every time and they never really got much better. They maybe maintained, maybe, but they didn't improve. I had a patient I know that had come to see me that I had kind of known in the community a little bit, but really had terrible uncontrolled diabetes and had been to, you know, see a provider. And I think it was even another nurse practitioner, as I recall, but she was just in a traditional setting. And he was, his A1C, I think, was over 12 when we started. As we talked to him, I was trying to figure out what was going on, why he was so uncontrolled. And he said, well, I can't get my medicines, because they said, if I can't get my labs, then I can't get my medicine. And I said, well, how come you can't get my labs? He said, because I can't get an appointment to get my order to get my labs. I can't ever get through. And then I can't get in. And then I haven't done my follow-up visits. And, you know, then he would call the office and like, well, you got to do this. And it was just never ending vicious cycle. It was a simple enough problem to fix for me. It wasn't even that I had to just really reinvent the wheel. He was on insulin and, you know, several other things that I wish that he didn't have to take. So what I did is I was just able to get him in. He was willing to do whatever it would take to get better. It just, something had to give somewhere. And so I got him to the lab and I said, let's just see where we're at. I got, you know, see what, assess what the damage is, created a plan. I said, I'd like to see you come off of your insulin, but, you know, we've got to make some changes. He did what he needed to. He even invested in a continuous glucose monitor that he paid for out of his own money or out of his own pocket, especially once we got him off of insulin. I think it might have been covered at first, but of course, then it wasn't later. You know, he really invested. He did everything he could with the diet. And the next time I saw him back, he had dropped down. I think he was in the sevens the very first time I saw him back, like 3 months later. We were able to get him off of his insulin. And since that time, he actually is off of all prescription medications. I've got him on one supplement. He keeps his CGM going. And he's like, love that, because now I really know exactly how what I'm eating is impacting, you know, my blood sugars. And I know what's going on. I've been able to make adjustments because we had this long conversation about it. And I was able to talk to him and really work through those lifestyle changes. What do you know? He's well controlled. He looks great. He said he ran into his provider somewhere not that long ago. And she's like, wow, you look great. Where have you been? And he's like, no, it's you. He said, I'm seeing this other provider. And this is what she did. And she was able to get me in. So I have got my diabetes under control now. And I, you know, I feel a little bad for her because, you know, it's just, she's just in the same situation most of us have been in. And I know she intentionally didn't want to, you know, and she may not have even been aware that all that stuff was going on in the background, but I'm happy for him that we were able to overcome that problem. And now I don't have this terrible uncontrolled diabetic floating around out there that's going to have, you know, continually to have a multitude of health problems, and he's doing so much better.
Yes. And the difference is that you were able to spend all the time that you needed with him and really right. educate him. It wasn't just about giving him this pill and giving him that pill or that insulin. You really had the opportunity to talk to him about diet changes, lifestyle changes, and all that, that, as you know, working in traditional medicine, you do not have that time right. because you only get 15 minutes with a patient if you get that much. It's really more like 8 minutes, and then you have to spend the other 7 minutes trying to chart, or else you're going to be up charting till 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Being able to take, I mean, easily every one of my new patients an hour. I mean, I've spent 2 hours with patients before that have come in, you know, their first time, and it was really complicated and I really need to, or when they called and set the appointment, I could tell that it was just going to be a lot of really heavy information. And so guess what? I have the ability to do that. So I just block it out and I'll tell them like, hey, I give you an hour. Is that enough? You need more? How much time you need? You know, whenever we ever able to ask patients that, you know, in a traditional setting, they don't get that. So patients never. Are just completely just dumbfounded. They said, nobody has ever talked to me this long in my entire life. Nobody's ever, no healthcare providers ever talked to me this long. So that's nice to be able to, you know, to do that for people and to be able to see what kind of a difference you can make.
Absolutely. And you said you were doing red light therapy. And what was that other thing called?
Presotherapy, P-R-E-S-S-O therapy.
Presotherapy.
Kind of like big blood pressure cuffs, kind of, that goes on your arms, around your waist, and on your legs. It's kind of cyclic compression therapy that's kind of programmed into this machine, and you set it and the patient just kind of lays there. It's very relaxing, rhythmic, like a just an automatic, like a lymphatic massage kind of.
I love that. In fact, I would like to have that.
Also have a whole body vibration plate as well. And so we do a little bit of that, which is really nifty. I had one of my 92-year-old patients patients that was having some leg swelling, and she was talking about it, and she had some hip issues and wasn't as active. So I said, while you're sitting there, give me a second, let me go grab something. So I just put that, she was sitting in the chair, and so I just put that little vibration plate underneath her feet and set it on a really low, gentle setting. And I said, let's just run this thing while you're talking, because it'll only help you. You know, we just get some blood flowing in your legs. So yeah, just little things like that that I can do and educate people on what the benefits are.
How did you get all these pieces of equipment?
Like physically, how did I get them, or how did I come across them?
Well,
or
like the pressotherapy.
Kind of going off into a tangent, actually started off with going off into a tangent, like an aesthetics tangent, and reading about that, but then learning all of the health benefits and then doing some research and being fascinated about just the research that's out there and how it can help. And I thought, you know, this is a really great wellness tool for so many patients, and it wasn't terribly expensive. And so, yeah, I did that. I have a little small room in my clinic. My clinic's about 1,000 square feet, and I had a small room that I really wasn't doing anything with. And I thought, you know, I really would like to kind of have wellness services in there. So I named it the Magnolia Room. Magnolia is my granddaughter's name, but it also kind of goes along with the Southern theme. And so those are my Magnolia Room services, as I do some of these things in there, the red light therapy, and it's like a spa-like setting, and patients love that.
Oh, I love that too. Well, that's great. Jody, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been a real pleasure to get to know you.
Well, thank you so much. I had a great time talking about direct primary care.
Yes, and good luck in the future to you.
Thank you. You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the DPCNP. We hope you found our conversation insightful and informational. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing to our podcast so that you do not miss an update. And don't forget to leave us a review. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps others discover our show. We love hearing from our listeners. Feel free to connect on our social media, share your thoughts, your suggestions, and even topic ideas for future episodes. As we wrap up today, we are so grateful that you chose to spend a part of your life with us. Until next time, take care. This is Amanda Price signing off. See you on the next episode.